He's the new leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, taking up the ropes from Mike Nesbitt. It is, of course, Robin Swan. Good morning, Robin.
Morning, Vinny.
So, did you always have it in your head that you would maybe go for this at some point if it became available, if someone, i.e. Mike, decided to step aside?
Never.
Why do you say that?
Look, Vinny, I suppose I joined the Ulster Unionist Party in the late 90s. I suppose I always had an inkling of I wanted to be an elected politician at some stage.
Never leader?
Never leader. It was never in an early political aspirations that I would finish up as leader of the Ulster Unionist Party.
But so look, what changed?
Look, when the opportunity arose, I suppose I've served for the past 5 years as chief whip of the party. And I see and I believe in the potential of the Ulster Unionist Party. That's why I'm an Ulster Unionist.
But you have to say that, Robin. You can't come on and say the opposite.
Sorry?
You have to say that. So what did change? Be honest with me. What did change?
Well, look, the opportunity came up.
Did you think you could do a better job than Mike?
Well, we'll put it this way. You see, when you were offered your own programme, Vinny.
Yes.
Did you take the opportunity or did you want to stay as a producer for Stephen?
Were you offered the leadership? Did someone say, Robin, you should go for this?
No. Look, I suppose one of the things in the Ulster Unionist Party, our party allows any member in good standing to stand for the position of leader. And we elect our leader every year, so it's an annual appointment. So you need 40 signatures from across 9 associations. So one of the things I did say in the early interviews when Mike said he was standing down, I said that I would gauge the party to see if there would be support.
And were you surprised with the support that you did get?
I was. I was surprised and was humbled, Vinny, because, look, I got support from our MLAs, our MP, the chairman of our Councillors Association, the chairman of our Queen's Young Unionist branch. And I got an endorsement from each of our associations across Northern Ireland. So when that started to present itself, I put the papers in once I got the 40 signatures I needed and I went for it.
Well, Robin, some people, very cynical perhaps, people would say, well, look, it was a fairly easy race because you were the only horse in it. Nobody else put themselves forward for the party leader. So some people might say that no one else really fancied the job.
Well, look, that was up to others. Funny, I suppose, as I said earlier on, our party rules allow any member and good standing to run for leadership.
Why do you think no one else did?
I don't honestly know. I know as I said to you, I look at it from my own personal point of view. When the opportunity was there, I said if I felt I was getting support from across the party, I would go for it, and I got that support, so I put myself forward.
But would it not be a good indication of a healthy party if there were lots of people that wanted to lead that party then and to try and take them forward in whatever foresight they saw? Because some people, Robin, would say, well, look, maybe the party is seen as being in decline and this is a job that is so difficult that no one else wanted it.
Well, I wouldn't say that. You know, and being seen as a party in decline, I would challenge you on that. Because, you know, look, we've 85 councillors across all the councils in Northern Ireland, with 2 MPs, with an MEP, with 10 MLAs, and look,
from 16,
as any political party, look, as any politician across Northern Ireland or across the world will tell you, look, if we had the chance for more elected representation, we'd take it, of course. And I'm disappointed that we only come back with 10, but there was the rise. You know, we can look at all sorts of reasons, whether it was the rise in the Sinn Féin vote, dropping from 6 seats to 5.
Of course. But once again, the UUP used to be the biggest political party in Northern Ireland. Now I think it's the 4th. So difficult job, you know, it's not going to be easy for you.
Oh, look, Vinny, my opening comments on Saturday was that I was under no illusion about the size of the task that lies ahead of not just me, but for the party as a whole. But the support that was there on Saturday, the numbers we had turned out for our AGM, surprised a lot of the journalists in the room, because I think, you know, there was even one of the commentators in one of the papers yesterday said he thought he would be coming to something like a wake, and it was far from that. There was a lot of energy in the room. There's a lot of enthusiasm in the room, and one of the main things is there's a lot of belief in the Ulster Unionist Party.
Well, speaking of belief, we'll talk about belief in you, Robin. What's your big idea?
Well, look, one big idea, I have a lot of ideas, but what the big one is, I suppose one of the main challenges I see and one of the things I want to do as leader of the Ulster Unionist Party is about promoting, I suppose, a positive unionism, you know, a confident unionism and a unionism that that is embracing, because I think we've got this situation in Northern Ireland where being a unionist is almost seen as either it's either seen as an insult, a bad word, or a put down, you know. And I think it's about a step change and a mind change to what unionism actually means to people and what that sort of politics actually represents.
So how will you do that?
Well, it's about promoting, I suppose it's come back to the old-fashioned mantra of promoting the union and the benefits of the union, and promoting what the Ulster Unionist Party has to offer in that sea change and some of the policies and some of the positions that we hold that are different from other unionist parties.
It's not necessarily the most kind of outstanding, over-the-top suggestion of your big idea, was it, to promote unionism?
No, but it's promoting that change in unionism, and I think it's something we started to see under Mike. It's about reinstoring the confidence in unionism and reinstoring the positive message that unionism has to offer.
Well, some people might say, well, if you look at the DUP and their vote, there's a fair bit of confidence in them from their voters.
Yeah, well,
is it really confidence in the UUP as opposed to unionism on its own?
Well, I think I wanted, you were asking me what I was going to do, you know, to change the fortunes, if you want to put it that way, of the Ulster Unionist Party. And I think it's about changing that message and that mindset that we are the vehicle, the Ulster Unionist Party is the vehicle that's promoting and offering that positive unionism, confident unionism, you know, and an embracing unionism. You know, unionism doesn't have to be negative, or it doesn't have to be threatening, nor aggressive, nor arrogant. It can be outward looking, it can be embracing, and it can be positive, and it can want to work with different people of different cultures and traditions, and it can do that, and we have done that.
Okay, Robin, stay there for just a moment. We're going to come back to you after the news with Tina. The phone lines, of course, are open, 030 30 80 55 55.
Now, at 9:33, the news from the BBC.
The principal of Inuri Primary School has written to parents of pupils accusing politicians of failing to put aside old animosities and work for the benefit of children. He said there would be serious consequences. As you've been hearing, the new leader of the Ulster Unionist Party has said unionists should not be ashamed of their political beliefs. Robin Swan told the BBC he wanted to change the narrative on unionism in Northern Ireland. And thousands of police officers are expected to line the streets of central London for the funeral procession of PC Keith Palmer, who was murdered in the attack in Westminster last month. News in Full is coming up at 10 o'clock.
Thank you very much, Tina. This is, of course, the Nolan Show on Radio Ulster and Foyle with myself, Vinnie Hurl, sitting in for Stephen today. We are joined by the new Ulster Unionist leader, Robin Swan. Good morning again to you, Robin. Next question. So if there was a snap general election, let's say this year, would you enter a pact with the DUP?
Dear me, Vinnie. I suppose, look, one of the things, and I see the lead of the Belfast Telegraph has gone down that way at this moment in time, but where we are in Northern Ireland, if we can change to where we are actually at this moment in time, if you want to talk about elections, we're sitting on Monday with a deal to be done or not done on Friday. I think politicians in Northern Ireland should be focused on getting the executive and getting the assembly up and running.
Okay, but
and I think that's where...
Well, is this something that you have considered as a leader of one of the main parties in Northern Ireland? Have you considered the possibility of a pact, a unionist pact, say, with the DUP?
Look, I made it very clear on Saturday at the AGM. I see no appetite out there for a single unionist party. And I think that has been reflected in the comments of the DUP and the TUV and this morning's Belfast Telegraph, where both are agreeing that they'd actually see a single unionist party stifling debate and actually taking away and decreasing the unionist vote. But look,
if the DUP, if Arlene Foster offered you a pact in certain areas, would you say yes, or would you say thanks, but no thanks, Arlene?
I suppose one of the things, I'm looking at the front though of this morning's Belfast Telegraph, where apparently...
You're sponsored by that paper this morning.
Sorry, apologies.
It's all right.
There are other papers out there to buy, of course, Vinnie.
There's nothing wrong with a bell tail, but sorry, go ahead, Robin.
Sorry, look, I'm not going down that way. Sorry, but you know that's the front page of their story this morning, and I'm just concerned that they're starting to talk about PACs, and I hope it's not because they've already given up on the talks. that are ongoing at this minute in time.
Well, you can understand why they're might not necessarily suggesting through the Belfast Telegraph, but there might be a bit of uncertainty, a bit of unease among voters, among people living in Northern Ireland in general as to what to expect. A deadline is a deadline in many places, but quite often here it's not.
But look, we've been through that. We've been through that phase, Vinny. You know, we've passed the first deadline, which was 2 weeks ago. And at that stage, I don't think we were even close. I don't think the process we were in the middle of wasn't good. But when we come back, I did see a step change in what was happening around the table and how it was actually being handled. There were more meetings. It was more focused. It was more structured. And, you know, every now and again, I was seeing glimmers of hope. I was seeing glimmers of light. But then you would get back the next day and one would take a step back. But look, Northern Ireland, you know, I'm an unashamed devolutionist. I believe in the Northern Ireland Assembly. I believe in Northern Ireland politicians.
And of course you do.
For Northern Ireland people. And that's what concerns me about this process at the moment in time. Unless we can get our Assembly and our devolved institutions up and running again by Friday, Northern Ireland is going to suffer. You know, I was listening to some of your earlier commentators, you know, about the state of the education systems and the budget.
Okay.
You know, if we hand our budget, our rates, or everything back to a direct rural government,
okay.
At the end of the day, it's the electorate's going to suffer.
Let's move on, Robin. How different would you say is your party, the UUP, from the DUP? For example, what's the party position on equal marriage?
We're very clear on equal marriage, and it's something we've made clear as leader. We offer it as a matter of conscience. So within the party...
And what would your stance be on it?
My stance, I have opposed any change to the definition of marriage, and my position is well known for that. But as leader, I will never unsee any change or any need to change our party's position as allowing that to be a matter of conscience.
Do you understand why some people, some voters, might find that difficult, Robin? Because they're thinking, right, I want to vote for a party. It's Alliance, it's DUP, Sinn Féin, SDLP, because I hold certain things important to me, whether it is things like abortion or for example, equal marriage. So they want to think, well, when I vote for this party, my stance, whatever that will be, whatever side of that fence you're on, will be upheld. And they'll listen to you this morning and think, well, I don't know what that party would do.
No, well, actually, I'm funny that, and that's where I see the strength in our party alone, both the topics you covered, as being matters of conscience. Because it's not about voting for the party in that case, it's about voting for the individual, it's about voting for the candidate who knocks your door and asks you for your vote.
Surely the leader and the direction of that party, for example, the DUP, there will be some people that vote for the DUP because of their party policy on X, Y and Z.
Yeah.
And not necessarily just that person. Because you have to remember as well, there will be people that will vote for a certain politician because they also want that party to be in control. And therefore, they've just gone for whoever is running in their area.
Yes, but and I think that you were asking what you know what differed us between us and the Democratic Unionist Party. And that's... That's one of the main things. When you get the candidate on the door, you know where they stand, not where a policy officer has seen the advantage to the party as for the party taking a specific stance on a matter of conscience issue.
All right, let's move on to another question here. What's the party position on abortion in cases of fetal abnormality under your leadership, Robin?
Again, abortion on any of the ranges, again, is a matter of conscience, Fanny, and I've been over the exact same positions as before. I'm on record as saying this. I've opposed any change to the abortion laws.
So as leader, you're opposed to change, but you can the members of your party can vote as they see fit.
Yeah. Yeah, and as I say, I think that's the strength of the Ulster Unionist Party.
But do you understand why some people might see that as a weakness? Because when they're voting for your party, they don't know what stance you will take. If they vote for Sinn Féin, they perhaps know what stance they would take on a vote in the Assembly, and therefore in fitting with their views, their opinions, their beliefs.
Yeah, but one of the things, especially when it comes down to these two specific matters, Vinny, which I believe in, and I'll protect within the party as being matters of conscience. What worries me is when a party takes that approach, that somewhere during the mandate, should they be elected in on a party position, that mandate can change, or a party could even change from making it a policy matter for the party to a matter of conscience, which we have seen some parties do in the Assembly in the last term. I think there were some changed their position on equal marriage. So
okay.
when you vote for an Ulster Unionist candidate, you get their beliefs on these issues, which I think...
Yeah, but possibly not the party belief.
No, the party belief is their matter of conscience, funny, and I think that's...
So it could go either way.
It could go either way. No, you speak to the individual you're voting for, okay. And I think that... You know, your vote's a personal vote, so on these issues, I think they should be voting for the,
okay.
for the personal belief that you stand.
Would you support an Irish Language Act?
One of the things, I suppose, one of the central planks to where we are in these talks at this minute in time is actually in regard to an Irish Language Act. The one that has been presented by Sinn Féin is the one that was consulted on by Carl McCullum back in 2015, which included the likes of an Irish Language Commissioner, which would have the same powers of a High Court judge. That act also had an inclusion that would see a positive recruitment for Irish speakers in the civil service. Up to 10% of new recruits must be Irish speakers. We couldn't endorse those parts of an act. But look, what we have, there's talk for Sinn Féin at this moment in time, and they're talking about, you know, part of these talks being the reinforcement or the inclusion of past agreements. Well, one of the things that actually came out of Fresh Start was the creation of a Flags, Identity and Cultural Traditional Commission. And that's actually meant to report at the end of this month, the start of next month, and it includes work on the Irish language.
So are you trying to say, Robin, that just because we're a little bit pushed for time this morning, are you trying to say that then you would perhaps support an Irish Language Act, but not the one as it stands?
What I'm saying very clearly, Vinny, is...
From Carl McCullen in 2015.
We won't be supporting that one under any circumstances, but what we did put our concentration in and our faith in was actually the work of this commission that's coming forward and is due to report.
Is there a potential then, Robin, for a future Irish... I'm basically just trying to find out from you if the party or yourself would support an Irish Language Act in some form in the near future.
Well look, what we want to see is what this commission actually comes forward and report on. And as I said, you know, we've Doug Beattie working in that commission and he's working on the steering group on Irish language at this minute in time. And we've made it very clear to Sinn Féin that we want to see the report of this commission coming forward first. The Irish Language Act that they're presenting at the minute is not something that we'll support, and we've made that clear through these talks, okay. because of those very specific measures that are inside it. An Irish Language Commissioner, 10% recruitment for the Irish language, Vinny, is not something we will be supporting.
Okay, the new leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Robin Swan, thank you very much for your time this morning.